Parents, are you missing out on this opportunity?
Well, I'll tell you this, Steve, that is not a boring question.
It's not boring.
Not boring in the least. I love where that's going.
Because hopefully people are wondering. They're wondering. They're wondering what opportunity.
Absolutely.
We're creating a little FOMO here.
A little bit. Well, and the opportunity you're getting at here actually is a huge opportunity too. And we all screw it up all the time. We're always missing this opportunity because we frequently complain about this and we miss the opportunity.
This is boring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bored.
What do we do when we're bored? Especially nowadays. When we're bored, what do?
Scroll?
Yep. We get on our phones.
It's doom scrolling.
It's the biggest downside, I think, to us hopping on our phones all the time when we get bored, is that boredom is a golden opportunity to create.
I'm not too interested in that right now, Nate, because I'm thinking about how awesome it is to get caught in a loop of golden retriever puppy videos.
And cats give and the me Christmas those, trees.
Give me I don't care about the cats and the Christmas trees.
Oh, they're funny.
Give me some puppy reels and I'm good for a while.
Yep.
Did you ever used to lecture your students? See, I'm gone from that teacher classroom experience. But whenever I heard the I am bored, which I didn't hear that often, we tried to keep things moving. Right. But it's inevitable. You're going to hear a teenager in a conversation or something. They're going to say, this is boring.
Or I'm sure they're talking about some of their other classes.
Yeah. I would just bust out this line every time that boredom is self-inflicted punishment. And I would go off on a friendly, somewhat humorous rant about how can you be bored on this planet, on planet Earth, where even if you're stuck in a room, I mean, think about Viktor Frankl stuck in a concentration camp. Like if you're stuck anywhere, you can choose to not be bored, which is where I think you're going with your creation.
Yeah. And did you catch what you just said there?
No, I did not catch it. Should I write it down? See, Nate's coaching me right now. He's coaching me and I've got my pencil. So what did I say?
Well, you might want to write it down because you said you can choose to be bored.
Yeah.
And that's so it's fun to see how our stylistic stuff, like you would go that route and kind of, you know, make it a fun, witty kind of, you know, learning experience. And then me, I just go with the nerdy coaching type of thing. And I'd be like, well, do you all realize what boredom actually is? Boredom is a choice.
You choose to be bored. You do this in your classroom.
Oh yeah.
Boredom is a choice.
It's a powerful conversation to have with kids. And I think our parents could get a lot out of this. If your kid comes home from practice, be it for a play or for their sport or anything, and they're telling you they're bored, that's a great opportunity to just jump on it. Boredom is a choice. You choose to be bored. You're going to that default setting of, well, I'm not, you know, people aren't shoving excitement right into my face and I'm choosing to not create any.
And can I tell you about a recent creation?
Yeah, please do.
Because I don't know if I would just say it's boring. I would also say it's awful. And I think sometimes the two are equated with one another.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you don't like to do. It's easy to label it as, oh, this is boring. You know, I don't want to do this. But I don't love basic tax prep. And I have an incredible accountant. And by the way, he's one of the best sports parents of all time that I've ever been around. There is a certain basic level of tax prep that I have to do. and I have some tools, you know, I have a program, all those things, but still there is the basic accounting of mileage, receipts, et cetera. And I'm just telling you, Nate, it is boring. It is boring. I don't find any meaning in it. I don't, you know, to all the tax preparers and accountants out there, I don't get it. I have no idea why you're doing what you're doing, but I have decided to, so I have this on my calendar. It's called Money Fun. And it's just a regular thing that I'm getting better at doing, not great at it. But I thought, okay, how can I bring a little bit of meaning and fun and enjoyment into this? And that, so I schedule it. I have a great music playlist. I'm basically going one man rock concert type of thing in my office. And I put a time limit on it so I know it's going to end. And then I'm bringing in a snack that I like.
Love it.
And trying to bring some meaning and joy and fulfillment.
And Victor Frankl would be so proud of you.
I know it's good because when I'm done with this, Nate, when I finish it and it's ready, you know,
yep,
to go to Matt, it's such a good feeling.
Yeah. And that's such a great example of this idea. You can choose to hate that and just resent it and ignore it and put it off. And it would be easy to do. And that's often how we get stuck in procrastination. But Viktor Frankl would be very impressed with what you do because his thing, he created this branch of therapy called logotherapy, which centers around the idea of creating purpose. And that's what he would do with people is trying to take their lives and help them to create meaning and purpose, which he was able to live in those concentration camp experiences. That Man's Search for Meaning is a fabulous book. Great read because it gives you a lot of powerful perspective. But if you can have somebody that can create purpose and meaning in that situation, that's a testament to how powerful our ability as humans is to choose to create meaning and purpose. Not choose boredom, but choose to create meaning and purpose. So I think what I'd love to talk about more to help the parents and help parents help their kids, how can parents create more meaning and purpose for themselves?
Go for it. How can they? Wow.
There's a lot of, so let's do a little case study because that's nerdy and I kind of like to do things like this. So invariably when I'm having this conversation with my classes and we talk about boredom being a choice and they start to get on board with the idea, it's like, okay, so what class is the most boring for you? Math, almost every time math comes up. And it's a powerful experience for them to look at math and say, okay, that's a boring class. What could you do to make that class more enjoyable? And it takes them a while to struggle through that answer because they're so focused on, well, the reason I'm in math is to learn math and I'm not good at math. It's boring. It's lame. When am I ever going to use this? All that stuff comes up. And there's no point in fighting them on that because they're not necessarily wrong.
But yeah, they're not wrong. It is lame.
Yes. And they're probably never going to use any of it too, which is, I think that's a futile argument for anybody to get into with a kid because they're right. When are they ever going to use most of that math at any point in their life? They're not. So rather than fighting them on, it's like, okay, if that's the purpose you think that you're going to math for, you're going to be bored and it's going to be dumb and lame and boring. But if you can create a different purpose for going to math, you win the game. So it's the question of, okay, well, who are some of the people in your math class? What could you do to make a difference for them today? How could you use math instead of being bored by it to learn an important skill that actually is going to help you? And so you start going down some of these roads and now they look at their math class just a little bit different. Oh, well, I'm not going to learn math that's going to help me in life, but I do need to be disciplined. I need to do things even when they're boring, kind of like you and the tax stuff. I need to do something that's boring because it's going to help me out in some way. And so you get them thinking about creating meaning for something that's lame.
I'm going to become a better thinker. I'm going to use this class
to make me better in some way. And then I decide how I'm going to use it.
I love that. We have a current client, Nate, that is doing this. I just thought of this.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to love listening to this too.
Yeah.
Hey, she loves to do something that I hate to do. Vacuum.
Nice.
I hate to vacuum. I do like the end result. I often do it as a transition activity in between when I'm working at home from my office and need a 10-minute break, a little energizer, a little something else to do. I find great meaning in it because it's a service to my wife.
Yes.
She loves it when she comes home and sees that I have done some vacuuming. But the actual activity, I don't like it. It is what I would consider boring. Yet I think of it in a service way, but my client, she uses it intentionally to think. She likes the actual exercise of it. She talks about the vacuum lines. She talks about vacuum lines and carpet as just being so fulfilling, so meaningful, brings her joy, puts a smile on her face. I think it's a great example of this.
It's a wonderful example.
It's just a totally mundane thing. Yeah, we need to clean, we need to vacuum or whatever, but she brings meaning and joy to this simple activity.
She's created a purpose for it that brings her joy. And that's the opportunity that everybody misses. When you get bored, this is what you can do. You can create purpose, which brings you joy.
So do we have some invitations or challenges for parents?
I think a good one is to come up with, look at a routine, kind of like the vacuuming thing. What's that routine activity that you might not like to do? And then what can it possibly mean? What's a purpose that it could have? How could you use it as an opportunity to create joy? And it might be just shifting the focus a little bit to say, okay, who am I serving by doing this? And everybody's a little bit different with that, but look for one of those little daily routines that you might not love to do. And then start trying to figure out a way to create meaning and purpose from it.
That's awesome. I have one. This is a really Viktor Frankl type of thing, because when he was in the concentration camp, he was thinking about the future and writing his book. And so he was controlling his thoughts, even though he was just in this absolutely terrible circumstance. So I think asking your teens, what do you think about when you're cleaning your room, or what do you think about when you have to do some mundane activity, whether you enjoy the activity or not? And I think just that question alone gets them to realize that I can create my own thoughts during this situation, and they might discover that they're actually just adding to their boredom by their, you know, what they're thinking.
By bad mental management.
Yeah, bad mental management. Mental management. I like that.
Well, that's a powerful skill, learning how to manage your mental game well. Going off of that, one of the greatest ways to manage our mental game is asking ourselves questions. And so one of our mentors, Brendan Burchard, has three that he loves to share, and I'd love to share them right now. Ask yourself these questions at the start of the day, just to kind of create some meaning and some purpose for yourself. One, what can I get excited about today? And if there's nothing that you can think of, what's something you can create that would make you excited today? Two, who needs me on my A game the most right now? Who's somebody I'm going to run into today that needs me on my A game today? And then the last one is, what's a tough situation I might end up in today? And how would my best self handle it? And so if I know I'm going into a tough conversation, or if there's something that's going to be challenging for me today, I start to create in advance how my best self would handle that And now I have purpose going into that activity, even though I might be dreading the conversation, I've created a little bit of purpose in why I'm doing this and how I can use it to get better.
Those are dynamite. Those
and that's
are
mental management. Use good questions to guide your mental game.
I like to ask myself, who can I serve? Because that definitely gets me out. I think that takes you out of boredom. Well, for me, it creates great meaning. Because when you help somebody, when you serve somebody, when you brighten their day, boost them, uplift them, that's why you and I do what we do. That's why we're in the coaching space, in the teaching world, is we love to serve others. And that's not just to like pat ourselves on the back, but it really does bring meaning and joy into your life. And so you might be sitting there thinking, what am I going to do today? Or I don't really have anything going. And if you ask those questions that you asked and you throw in the, who can I serve?
Oh yeah.
You are going to crush boredom. Yep. Like when boredom shows up, imagine if you can train yourself and if you can model this for your teens and teach your teens that when boredom shows up, this is actually a golden opportunity to create something incredible.
Yep. Don't scroll, create.
On behalf of Steve Galley, I'm Nate Crandall, and we thank you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in to this episode. If you love what you're learning from the Stop Parenting and Start Coaching podcast, we would appreciate it very much if you would leave us a 5-star review and some glowing comments. We also encourage you to share this episode with your friends and family who are parents of athletes and performers. And if you want to explore further and see what Steve and I are creating to help thousands of parents, athletes, and performers, please visit our company's website at createtransformbecome.com. That's createtransformbecome.com. There you will find a growing number of resources to help you elevate your performance. Thank you again for your support, and we encourage you to create a magical relationship with your athlete and performer.